I tried to keep it a secret. No, let's see. One, two, three. I'm at least the fourth choice to speak tonight because Carl had worked out with Teb to speak tonight, and Carl is a lot like me, absent-minded, and so he forgot that he was supposed to be singing in Fosterville tonight. And so he's gone to Fosterville. Candy's with him. Sam went to his girlfriend, sings in the chorus. And so anyway, when Carl realized this morning that he couldn't speak tonight, he asked my brother, other son, Sam, his brother. So I'm, like I said, at least the fourth choice. But anyway, we've got a men's business meeting tonight. I thought we would talk about something just real lighthearted, something, you know, something we could get done in about 10 minutes. And so, it's only three slides, I promise. I want to first say thank you for supporting us as we've begun to be shepherds. And speaking as somebody who's been meeting with Stan and Jerry every week, we are having some great ideas and we're having great discussion, and we've got some great things started. And today was another example of that. I'm sure from your perspective, you know, it's not obvious, but I'm just really excited about it, and so I appreciate all your continued support and prayers, and we're going to do great things, because we want to be a church where we have the right perspective about life. We want to be a church, and that's ultimately what we're all about, isn't it? Let's read James 4. We're studying James in, actually, I guess we've moved to 1 John now on Sunday mornings, but recently we've studied James. And so there's a very famous passage from James 4, 13 and 14. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go do this to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money, while you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? And that's the question. You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. James says that we're a mist. We're a mist. Bring up the next slide. If you don't mind, Mike. We've all seen these, right? There's four pieces of information on a tombstone, basically. There's a name. We don't have any control over that. There is a beginning date. We don't have any control over that. There's an end date, and we really have very little control over that one. Out of that entire marker that represents our life, the only thing we have even marginal control over is the dash. That's the only thing that we actually have some opportunity to influence, is just that little bitty dash. Just that little dash between the two numbers. You know, we'll read in just a minute. Jesus wanted us to have an eternal perspective and to lay up treasures in heaven. And so there's a lot more going on past that second number. Right. Ultimately, I think that's a. But for our lives today, for our life, you know, for our lives here, the dash is all that matters. And so let's talk about the dash for just a minute. It's short. It's not very impressive. And in the scriptures, we read about people, typically in the later stages of their life, looking back on their dash. One of them is Moses. Moses had periods of his life when he was taking on foreign powers. He was leading nations. But for the last 40 years of his life, he wandered in the desert waiting for people to die. That's what he did. You know, Moses, because the people didn't have the right attitude and because they made wrong choices, was instructed by God to wander around in the desert until an entire generation had died. He spent the last years of his life going to funerals. That's what he did. Let's read what Moses says in Psalms 90, which Psalms 90 is a psalms attributed to Moses. Probably would have been a song of some sort. Let's just read it together. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you were brought forth, the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. From everlasting to everlasting. God doesn't have a dash. You turn men back to dust. Another metaphor for the brevity of life, dust. Saying, return to dust, O sons of men, for 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. You sweep men away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. Though in the morning it springs up new, by evening it is dry and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins, in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. The length of our days is 70 years or 80. Isn't that interesting? What was that? Roughly 3,000 years ago? You know, Moses said that we'd live, about 70 or 80 years. You know what the average lifespan is for an American? About 77 years. Who needs Obamacare? Right? It's all basically the same. If we have the strength, that's if we have the strength, yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days. He didn't say years. He didn't say decades. He didn't say periods of our life, but literally just each day, our life is like a mist, each day. And wisdom is based on that perspective, Moses says. And so, just a couple of real quick points as we think about this perspective of life being like a mist. The first one is, like Moses says, to live today. Live today. I want you to think about something. How would we live different if every morning, like we should, when we wake up, we treat every day as a blessing from God, a day that we weren't guaranteed? Would we live differently? Would our perspective change? I've heard a story about a former soldier who had some important roles. You know, I'm not sure exactly what his roles were, but one of the things that he did was he had to, you know, serve a general or something, and had to carry him around from place to place, and so that he had to pick him up at the airport or something like that. And so while he was shuttling him from place to place, he kept stopping. He stopped and helped somebody with their luggage, and he stopped and helped somebody across the street. And finally, the general said, why aren't you more interested in me? Why are you taking time to stop and help these people and do those kind of things? He says, well, you know, before I had this job, I worked as in a group that was clearing landmines. And he said, every single step that I took could be my last. And he said, you know, that changed my perspective. I don't pass by somebody who needs help. I stop and do that. And so do we live each day as if it's a blessing from God? Count your days so that each day will count. You know, it's not a death wish to think about the brevity of life. It's really not. It's more of a death strategy. It's more of a, Moses says, a way to wisdom. Because when you think about the brevity of life, it makes your days count. It makes your days count. You choose to spend your day differently. The last point I want to make about this is that we need to have a today attitude and not a someday attitude. The decisions that we make need to be based on today, not someday. It doesn't mean we don't plan, obviously. But our decisions need to be based on today, because the someday is not ours. We don't get a someday. God only gives us a today. That could apply to our relationships. That could apply to our spiritual walk. That could apply to our mission and our evangelism. What we have today, we're not guaranteed a someday. In fact, that's one thing I want to challenge you to do this week, is to think about moving something from your someday to-do list to your today to-do list. Something small. Let's read Matthew 6, 19 through 34. Jesus, I think, gives us a lot of wisdom that applies here. Matthew 6. Passage from the Sermon on the Mount that we're all familiar with. Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, oh, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. The next point, and the final point that I want to make, when we are really honest with ourselves about the fact that life is brief and that we just have a small little dash and that we're a mist, it changes our perspective because it makes eternity much more valuable. And so the next point is to plan for eternity. Plan for eternity. Jesus says here to invest in heaven. How do we do that? How do we store up our treasures in heaven? Very little of what we do on this earth during our little dash will have consequences more than a generation or two. In fact, I bet I could ask you to name your great-great-grandparents, or maybe great-great-great-grandparents. Wouldn't have to go back too far before you would forget. You would forget who they were. And we're all guilty of that, even though that many of them were great people. There are a few people who make it into the history books for both good reasons and bad reasons, and we tend to remember those. But for the most part, you know, whatever we accomplish during our little dash is insignificant in terms of eternity. So Jesus invites us to store up for our treasures in heaven. How do we do that? Is that giving money to church? What does that look like? What does it mean to store up our treasures in heaven? Well, he gives us some insight, I think. It's to invest in people. To invest in people. We want to be a church that invests in people, that stores up treasures in heaven, that allows us to continue relationships for eternity. I think that's what he's talking about. I know that's what he's talking about, right? When we seek first God's righteousness and invest in people, look for ways to serve. Look for ways every day to serve. Just small little things. We have plenty. We all have different talents and abilities, but look for ways to serve. Look for ways to spread God's message, the good news. Look for ways to lighten each other's load. That's planning for eternity. That's investing in people. Another way that we can plan for eternity is to do what's important and not what's urgent. That's hard to do, isn't it? Sometimes there are very legitimate things that need to be done urgently, and you know, it just happens. It's life. It's an imperfect world. There's no doubt about it. But how often do we sometimes get confused about what's urgent and what's really important? I'm guilty of it. You know, obviously this is a message that's, I guess, from the perspective of somebody who is on the back half of those 80 years now. And so when we're younger, sometimes those things that are important don't seem very urgent. We got time to do that, right? But do what's important and not what's urgent. What's really important? You know, Jesus, when you think about his life, he changed the world. And what we know about him, did he ever get in a hurry about anything? I don't really ever remember. In fact, he stopped to talk to people that he really didn't have time to talk to. And sometimes he even got criticized because of it, because he was spending too much time with the kids or whatever. He had something more urgent to do. But he accomplished everything that he was supposed to accomplish. The last thing that Jesus tells us here is to trust God, to put our faith in God. When we plan for eternity, kind of goes back to the James passage too. When we plan for eternity, our perspective is not next year or tomorrow or what we've got stored up for next year or what we're going to do this year and that year. But our perspective is God will take care of that, right? As long as we seek first his righteousness and his kingdom, God will take care of that. Real simple. We've got men's business meeting, and so I thought, I really did plan on just having a couple of simple thoughts, but it's really profound. It's really profound if you think about it. That on that tombstone, like we saw a minute ago, the only thing that we have any control over at all is just that dash. That's it. And even then, we don't get control much of it, really. I mean, so many things happen beyond our control. In fact, ultimately, and I talk to kids about this all the time, ultimately, the only thing that is our responsibility is our response, how we handle things that come up. Because we can't control what comes up, but we can control how we respond to it. And so really, out of that whole dash, there's lots of things happening beyond our control, and the only thing we get to control from day to day is just our individual response. But when your perspective is an eternal perspective, when your perspective is that that dash is short and that we're just a mist and that we're just dust, it gives you wisdom. That's what Moses said, and he had to definitely have that perspective based on, you know, where he was at in life. Let's end with a prayer, and then we'll have our invitation. Our Father, we're thankful for all that you do for us and for the perspective that you give us through Scripture of the brevity of life. We pray that we would take that perspective and that we would choose to get the most out of every single day, doing what's important and not what's urgent. God, investing in people, storing up treasures in heaven. God, we trust you to take care of us, and that frees us from worry, because we know that ultimately that small little dash is insignificant in perspective of eternity. And so we pray that we would have that thought every single day, and that we would wake up each morning and our feet would hit the floor blessed that you've given us another day to serve you. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. If you need